Good evening, this is Hudson Dafford, astrologer. And Michael is not here today, and he's traveling actually, but next time we'll have him here. So in the meantime, I'll handle this show. And if you did wish to call in, one thing, I hope Don can help me with the numbers here. I think the number is 888. I have to confirm this. It's 1-888-228-4494. Is that correct, Don? Thanks for that. Well, I wasn't actually prepared for this, but we'll have a great show. We will talk about the 12 needs and how to lead a balanced life. I'll also be taking calls if you'd like. And so if you'd like to call in, and I'll give the numbers later on. But if you're listening to the show, you're probably on internet anyways, and you can see the numbers right there. And it'll just take a few minutes till our computers have put in here. Anyways, last time we started talking about the 12 needs, and we didn't completely finish it. Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you? You've been waiting on the line just to get me on. How are you doing, my dear? So, you have your birth date?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What is your birth date?
Oh, my birth date is May 10th, 1943.
Just give me one sec. May 10th. 1943. Okay, do you know the time also?
Yes, I do. 8:10 a.m.
8:10 a.m. Since we have a little bit more time, I'll just put this in. And where
were
you born?
I can barely hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you fine, thanks.
Okay, and where were you born?
I was born in Bombay, India.
Bombay. Lovely city, but it's getting really busy these days, yeah?
Actually, I haven't. Everything seems to be stopped.
Yeah. Your chart is not really a normal Bombay chart, though, but it's versatile, though. It's versatile. You're a multitasking person. I'm sorry, what's your name?
My name is Kim.
Kim.
Uh-huh.
I see, okay. I'm trying to look. Oh, there it is. See, you have, even though you're a Taurus, as you know, so there's a certain determination, et cetera, but you have three planets. And actually, four planets in Gemini, and two planets in Cancer. Together, it makes you like a natural psychologist in some respect, because you're very objective, and but very, very independent. This is not a normal Indian chart, by the way.
No, I'm
you're
not
born with Venus Neptune square configuration. The Venus Neptune, so you're very bright, very intellectual. Actually, when you like to read, etc., very cautious. Also, I mean, you have a brilliant mind on one side. But whether it's because of responsibilities or for whatever reason, but somehow it was indicating delays in, you know, when you have different delays in higher education, for example. But you've learned a lot on your own, and you've got this thirst for knowledge. But it's a practical application of knowledge as well. Did you say you were born 43?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Because you belong to the end of that generation, which is very close to nature also.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the master craftsmen, the Deepak Chopra generation, actually. And so many of those interests with naturopathy also is there. Now, you have a Mars-Jupiter trine, which normally indicates when you travel a lot around the world. And, I'm sorry?
I have, you're right.
I see, yeah. And you have that Mercury in the 12th house with all these planets. That 12th house is more like in medicine or in psychology, or you think like a scientist. You're very analytical and very good in research and dig up information also, but very intellectual approach. But the Venus-Neptune square, that's one of the major signs of sorrow in astrology. We find that these people are so idealistic that the person that you seek doesn't even exist. Now, because you were born in India, maybe it has a slightly different aspect, because it does make a difference if you are born in the West or the East. So you are very independent on one side, and love to use when you talk to somebody on the phone and they have a beautiful voice, for example. So the communication part becomes a very essential part of love for you. For example, Shakespeare was born with this aspect. What kind of work do you do, by the way?
I own a small medical services company.
You know, your chart is correct then. The time birth that you gave is correct. Because all the 12th house planets, as I said, that's like, it's like medicine. the 12th house institutions and all that. But what's interesting is that your chart, it has much more than like a, like, you know, people have a laboratory or clinic and all that. This is much more. This is like, you know, when people are coming to a hospital, for example. So your your approach is much more than normal, just preventive aspects of health. And the 12th house is when you are, it's like, as I say, some of the best scientists are born with this aspect. One of my clients, really, really good client, I don't know where she is these days, her name was Dr. Ashby. And she started these Ashby houses all around the world to rehabilitate, people. And she had a very similar chart. And I remember telling her when I first saw her, they were charged like a doctor, except I don't see blood and all that. I see more psychology. And she was, of course, into rehabilitation of people who have, the children who had head injuries and all that, What was
your
question?
You're absolutely accurate. I just want to say that. You're totally fantastic.
What was your main question, by the way?
Well, I'm supposed to be moving from where I live, and I haven't heard anything, but it's sort of, I've been told, I just haven't been told when,
I'm feeling very insecure because
I don't know what's happening.
Well, what's happening, see, you've got two completely different things going on in your chart. This is probably one of the best years later on for family reunions, buying or selling a property, because you have Jupiter touching off your moon. See, you have this moon-Jupiter conjunction, which is like a real mind expansion theme in your chart. You must have a lot of people, must be blessing you all the time, you know, like you've got this silent blessing from a lot of people. It's a very visual aspect when people get prophetic dreams, for example, and it's a very positive theme for the public response also. But both Jupiter and Saturn are touching off your Mars this year. The Saturn aspect is one of the action configuration. It's a frustrating aspect which can lead to heart problems or the timing of the heart. Hopefully nothing will happen, but you do have a very active nervous system, so you do need more sleep, etc. But later on this year, from about late this year till about next summer, you have Saturn touching up that Mars on the very bottom of your chart. This is the time to keep a low profile, and right now it shows a lot of delays from last September till about this summer, which is not a bad thing actually, because you are so versatile. So you become like a real genius on this transit. So it just makes you finish what you start. Fantastic organizing skills. But Jupiter touching off your Mars is a fantastic aspect. You're coming into some big money with that Jupiter moving into your eighth house. It happens once every 12 years. It has travel, for travel, for moving, for buying and selling of cars, you become like a successful gambler. So you have that aspect before the Saturn, the negative aspect comes in. That negative theme, I think, applies to any parents or grandparents, any genetic ties, they might have to be more careful with their health. But the Jupiter Mars is a fantastic aspect to have, and it's for travel. And it's also touching off your moon. So August, September, October, November, December, throughout that period, for buying and selling a property, I honestly would recommend that you actually invest in property on this transit. It's very easy to raise large sums of money when Jupiter moves into your eighth house. Any other investments, whether in business matters or property matters, for both, it's excellent in your chart. Mm-hmm. That's what I would recommend.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Does that make sense? And if you have any other questions, just give me a call, and I'll have more time. I'll look at the chart, and I'll give you some more.
I will. I'll give you a call.
You have my number. It's 416-497-9000. And,
okay. It's on your website, right?
It is on my website. That's right. You can always email also at stargaze@astrotrends.net. What I would suggest, probably just a 12-month forecast, since you have your exact time of birth.
Okay.
And that'll give you the exact timing. It took me almost 6 months to write those 6,000 paragraphs that the computer manipulates to write the report.
Okay, very good. I will do that for sure.
Thank you so much. So this year is the one for making money throughout and continues till the end of this year. And the first 6 months of next year, you've got an absolutely fantastic aspect for contractual matters, for your thinking, for anything which has to do with communication. But this year is more of the physical aspect, even for health, for high recuperative powers, etc. And you'll feel great a little later, because right now Mercury is retrograding till 19th of June. You see, so all kinds of delays happen for people.
Okay.
And especially this week in your chart, because the moon is also down right on your chart, from next week it starts moving up. And so I would say after about Wednesday, Thursday, it becomes very positive, and you'll feel your whole energy changing also.
Oh, I need to. I feel like I'm immobilized at the moment.
Don't be impatient. Just there's a reason why these things happen.
Okay, thank you again. You're absolutely awesome. I am very impressed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
It's interesting to see nice charts, actually. And But I just want to say also that many times, I found it last time, people were not able to get through because once we had a call and people didn't really hang up, they were just listening to the whole thing from the radio. So if they can listen from the internet, it'll be easier, actually. Now, I'd also like to say about something which applies to everybody. For example, this Mercury retrograde. Now, many astrologers consider it not the best aspect at all, but I personally enjoy that. I like that because from time to time, it helps us organize ourselves better. It's a test of organizing skills, as I said. And also, it's fantastic for research, for digging up information, for going over existing work. So instead of starting new projects, it's better if you've already started and it's time to review them, to go back over them. But people do become more forgetful. And for example, the key is getting lost. You're driving the car and then you just went for 2 seconds to a store and you left the car running inside, but you forgot and you locked the door. You can't get in. Like these type of things. So make sure you back up the aspect and the telephone, for example, not being able to get through to people. Like all kinds of things happen that Mercury retrograde. But depending on the sign, like for example, the lady who had called just now, she's got a very intellectual approach. She's very versatile. She can do several things and do them well. Now, she is born with Saturn and Uranus, both close to Mercury. One makes her, gives a very sort of futuristic, independent mind, very inventive mind, actually, with computers, electronics, and space technology, the high tech and the internet. That's Uranus close to Mercury. Like the erratic brilliance aspect. In fact, when people come close to nervous breakdown, in her case, probably she just drove others crazy. But Saturn, because nobody will be able to keep up with her. But Saturn hones her talents. Makes you want to finish what you start also. Like in my case, I have exactly opposite aspect to her. And whereas in my case, I have some Sagittarius planets, and they're part of this double grand trine in my chart also. So I'm also multitasking, and I'm quite talented when it comes to art and music. I play almost every musical instrument. And in fact, I always keep my Korg Oasis that I got, I always keep it just with me, just on all the time, because these things, you know, when you hear it, it's amazing, these things. And then you put this karma thing on it. It's really interesting. But anyway, so for my martial arts, for example, I have black belt in taekwondo, I fly planes, I speak different languages, I'm an engineer by profession. So I do so many things, you see, but I lost my mother when I was born. And that's the only reason that I got into astrology, to understand that master program. And even though on my birthday quite often, when people just get together and almost make me feel guilty that I was the one responsible, they didn't mean to, I'm sure, but I always felt very special. If God had to deny me something so precious as a mother's love, I must be somebody very special. And that's something, I feel that attitude is something you're born with, that you're born with that positive attitude. It's not just wishful thinking, but I must say that God has been very, I'm very grateful to God in many, many ways, of course. The thing which I like about myself most, that I don't care for money or anything at all. 90% of my energy, my resources, everything go into how I can make a difference in the life of the masses. Like all the people who are listening right now, for example, how we can help them. And so for some people, now when I get a negative aspect, like that Mercury retrograde or Saturn touching off Mercury, like this lady is getting from last September to about this June, July, that's the time I hired, under the same transits, I hired a very inefficient secretary, and that was the best thing that I could have done, because that's the first time I developed my own database to offset all inefficiency to become more efficient. I had to hire almost an inefficient person first. So that is part of the Saturn theme. And you're able to hone your talents, you're able to finish it. Einstein was born with that Saturn Mercury. In women, it gives a bit of an intellectual insecurity or delays in higher education. But in men, quite often when they're left-handed or spelling things backwards, for example, Leonardo da Vinci was born with Saturn-Mercury aspect, just like this lady, except he has Saturn-Mercury in the sign of Aries. And he was a Taurus also, but Mercury in the sign of Aries. And Hitler was also born with that, actually, by the way. He was also Taurus, Mercury in Aries. Let's not argue, let's do it my way. So in Leonardo da Vinci's case, not only was he left-handed, he actually wrote backwards, but he had to put mirror in front of his writing to see his, to make it more legible. Anyway, so you really have to look at the whole chart and to see how these aspects, there are not really any good aspects or bad aspects, for example. There are some aspects which are very easy. I've got a double grand trine my chart in Earth and double grand trine in Fire. So the Fire gives a tremendous amount of sudden burst of energy, and Earth gives the sustenance, the ability to finish what you start. So it makes a person like a real steamroller. And so that they take on multiple projects, new challenges, but have the stamina and endurance to keep on finishing it also. And that's why I do not really compare myself with other people in any respect, and my expectations of others are not as high, because I know they won't be able to keep up with that stamina. You know, when you're getting like 3-4 hours sleep, or maximum 4 or 5 maximum. And so everybody is born with a different temperament. But the luckiest thing that a person could be born with, I feel, is a positive attitude. When Dale Carnegie says that everybody can be successful, I honestly do not agree with completely. I think we should try to, of course, but unfortunately, you've got to be born with that ingredient as well. That I never, ever considered myself unsuccessful at all, right from my early childhood. I don't remember at all. And every time somebody said, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, I just took it as a challenge and proved everybody wrong. And so this is something I'm finding, that it's an attitude you're born with. And I really wish that science would look into that. The head of one of the philosophy department of one of the universities here, who became my client about 5-6 months ago, and she came here, I was showing her some of the things which I wrote about 20 years ago. And she said, you know, son, you'd be surprised that we're actually starting a whole department, and it's called neurotheology, and where we are exactly seeing the connection between God and the brain, in the temporal lobes and what happens, or this studying. And I told her, I said, you know, without astrology, it'll be so difficult for you to understand anything, because it's like the key to everything in life, I find. Even if you take it, let's say the whole astrology thing was a complete hoax, but to make it, even as a joke, for them to make it 5,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, it'd be almost impossible. And like, how did the ancients know that, for example, you have Aries, Taurus, Gemini, all these 12 signs. And by the way, everybody is born with all the signs somewhere in their chart. See, your horoscope itself, we divide that into 12 segments, and we call these houses. Now, there are 12 signs of the zodiac somewhere in your chart. Wherever there is Leo, you'll be famous in that area. You'll have this sort of an ego gratification. Wherever there is Aries, you'll be very dynamic in that area. You'll be like a self-starter in that area. That's where your chart actually starts. If you have Leo in the fourth house, for example, fourth house is home. You might live in a palace, for example, or on Queen Street or King Street. If you have Leo in the seventh house, for example, then your spouse would be quite, outstanding type, and you'd be known for that. And in my case, for example, my Leo is part of my ninth house. Ninth house is high life philosophy. And as long as you do not have a Messiah complex, I'm very lucky that our religion does not prevent, I mean, have that at all. So I was born in a religion which is very humble, which believes in total subjugation, the will of God, that we cannot even create a dust particle. But I've seen the Ramta, for example. Many of these people, they feel their incarnation of this God or that God. I mean, just total hocus-pocus, just a little bit of knowledge. And I mean, we cannot even create literally a dust particle even. But that Leo, in case in the ninth house, like in my case, there's nothing matters to me as much as a little bit of divine truth. Even a little bit, if I learn about that, I could sacrifice everything just for that. And so, similarly, wherever you have Gemini, you seek intellectual stimulation. Like this lady has partly Gemini in the 12th house and partly in the 1st house. And the 12th house is medicine, institutions, psychology, etc. And the 1st house is yourself, your personality, when she's constantly seeking intellectual stimulation. That's the Gemini part. And it can also give a certain duality wherever you are. So if it's in the 10th house, in your career, you could have two careers, for example. So because you have all the signs of zodiac somewhere in your chart, that's why you can't just say, I don't really like Virgos, because you've got Virgo somewhere in your chart. So wherever you have Virgo, in fact, that's a side where you might be really nagging. However, on the positive side, it's fantastic for example, in editing, where you're paid to find defects, or in quality control. So every sign has that aspect. When we talk about this, the sun sign, of course, we're talking about the sun sign, but since you have all the signs of the zodiac somewhere in your chart, and each one of them has a certain tempo, certain music, you might say, which you identify with it, and that is what I based my 12 essential themes to lead a balanced life. Nobody has written about it. I was the only one about that, but of course, I can't take full credit for that, even though it's completely, you might say, it's original, but nothing in nature is original. It's just discovery of the laws of nature, you might say. So let me see if I can find some music here, and we'll run with it. I'm just going to put this. Right, I'm just going to select the right music to show you what I mean by that. So first one is the Aries theme. And this one, of course, anytime when you go to a gym, whenever you do action, for example, and each theme, by the way, these 12 themes, and you all need to do all of these to lead a balanced life. And so the need to experience challenges, physical activity, and to get results, that's the Aries theme. And the positive stimulus is that makes you active and to initiate new projects. When you have too much of that, it can make you have hasty decisions and jumping the gun, etc. And simple ways to stimulate and satisfy your 12 basic needs would be that you join the health clubs, or at least go there just to motivate yourself. And whenever you're involved with anything new or different, but which is more action-oriented, more physical, even whether it's driving or learning anything physical, for example, it's an excellent aspect for that. And the color red, for example, which increases the blood flow, that would be it. That would be part of the Aries theme. Now, let me see if I can find the right music for it. This would be like the... Let me see if this one is... This is the theme of Aries, by the way. And immediately you feel the tempo going up, and if you like doing exercises or dancing... The children feel like dancing right away. So this is the Aries theme. The second theme, and it's very, very important, by the way, one of the most important themes, to initiate new activity, etc. Then the next theme is the Taurus. So wherever there's Aries, you seek action. If it's in the fifth house, it's because of your children that you might go swimming, for example. Come on, Dad. Or come on, Mom, let's do this and let's do that. And if it's in the, or you take sports, for example. That'd be the fifth house theme. Or if it's in the seventh house, you have Libra rising in women, very feminine placement, but they like men who are a bit chauvinistic type or very confident or sporting, athletic, who are impulsive and impatient type. Now, the next thing, which is Taurus. This is the need within us to have stability. And a very, very important theme. And any attachment to the past and the roots, anything which has historical element about it. If you have Taurus in the ninth house, you want to go to an old church, for example, an old place of worship with the stained glass and the old wooden furniture, for example. If it's in the fourth house, you might live in a very old home, for example. And that, by the way, depends on your sun sign and your time of birth, which determines what sign is on the, in the different houses. So the Taurus theme, it gives you stability, loyalty, and dependability. That's a positive stimulus of it. If you have too much of it, then it can make you miss an opportunity because too much caution and hesitation. So to stimulate this side, you need to go to, for example, every time you go to places which remind you of the past, the old home, the first school you went to, for example, it really nurtures your soul to some extent. Whenever you go to an antique place, an old furniture place, for example, or a museum, for example, so anything which brings this nostalgic feeling, that part is a Taurus theme. And one of the best songs that I can think for that one, I'll just put that for you. And as soon as you hear it, it's so different from the modern world, you might say. Do you remember that Dean Martin? So that is it. So this is the Taurus theme. You know, whenever you think of the old ones, etc. You people have such great voices. So that's the Taurus theme, and you need that stability in some aspect just to get your bearing. And the whole world is in a chaotic aspect, and everything is rushing. This is a slow aspect, a bit of a slower tempo. Then you have the Gemini theme, the need for intellectual stimulation, the need to experience intellectual stimulation and keeping in touch with others and communication, for example. It makes you objective, makes you have a sense of humor, comedies. Those are the ways to stimulate this theme. And it brings out actually prevents the boredom. That's the first thing. It makes you think, it makes you alert, and stimulates the mind, and adds a sense of humor to you. And when you have too much of it, of course, it increases the flightiness and high nervous activity and wasting time just talking, for example. That is if you have too many Gemini planets. Whenever you go to libraries or bookstores to intellectually stimulate your mind, or when you write, and receive any emails, for example. That's all this Gemini theme. The problem is, you see, that late at night, even till 1 o'clock, you're still replying Geminis and, all these emails. And especially for children, or MSN Messenger, for example, it's all Gemini theme. So it's excellent for communication. But also, their nervous system becomes so active, they have difficulty sleeping, that's why. So you need to balance that a little bit, of course. And so every time you share jokes, etc., that's all the Gemini theme. And the theme for that would be, you know, when you're playing a piccolo, for example, or the other theme is the emotional security, the Cancer theme. Wherever you have Cancer, for example, in your chart, you'll have this need for emotional security, just like Gemini has a need for intellectual stimulation. So emotional security, warm feelings, caring, that's what happens, is the need to experience all of that. And it brings out the deep nurturing sentiments and protective instincts. Every time you go to barbecues, every time you have a family gathering, whenever you see children, for example. In fact, the best the songs for that would be a children's song, for example, or the Disney type, for example, or the Rudolph the Reindeer, for example. Those. When you hear Christmas carols, for example, it touches out this theme, although that has a bit of a spiritual theme as well. So it brings out this nurturing side. And anything, when you go to Mother's Pizza, for example, or instead of having paper plates, you have real plates. That's all that Cancer theme. It's a very, very important archive, by the way, this one. And also when you learn to cook, for example, in fact, the lady who I called Gemini, she hardly has any time to do anything. She should take up some cooking on the side. And you'll find that, by the way, that whole age group, the 30s and early 40s, their food is a bit bland, but very close to nature, like herbal things, naturopathy. And each generation has, at some point, we'll talk about the different generations, actually. And so the Cancer theme brings out, for example, when you have homemade food, for example, and prepared by a nurturing person, or you visit if you have mothers and grandmothers, you have their cooking, for example, just visiting their place. And when you plan to have children, and if you don't have any, all that part is satisfied, this need for emotional security. And then you have a very, very important theme, the need for pride, for the need for recognition, for applause. And everyone has it to some extent. And the need for attention, for applause, for recognition, for admiration. And if you have too much of it, it can make you too confident. And the positive thing is boosts the ego and gives you the fame and recognition when this theme is stimulated. But it can make you also egocentric and bragging and need for constant admiration. Whenever you wear dramatic clothes and also attend galas or go in a limo, for example. Now, the theme for this, as soon as a particular recognizes this theme, that it's not a normal aspect, but something very dynamic type, something which stands out. And even if you're watching a show, a performance of that, everybody is, like Obama when he speaks, for example, it's that type of oratory aspect which pulls you up. So this is, of course, one of the best dancers, Michael Jackson, extremely talented, of course. So this is the Leo theme, a need for ego gratification and applause. And remember, everybody has this theme somewhere in the chart. I mean, they can say all kinds of critical things about him, but try to dance like him, and you'll find out, for example, what a talented person is actually. Unfortunately, not. I think he really got a lot of negative publicity also. But and then you have the Virgo theme, and this is the need for service, need to be a perfectionist. We all have that in some respect, and as I say, don't learn the tricks of the trade, learn the trade. That's a Virgo aspect, actually. And whenever Moon is in Virgo, if you start cleaning, you'll clean underneath the fridge and everything. You become very critical when Moon is in Virgo. You'll find. And so being useful, having a craft or a trade, to have order in your life, to have all these things to do list, for example, and being efficient, being of service to others, that is part of the need to experience the Virgo theme. And it brings out the perfection in you. It makes you more methodical and organized. Now, people try to put down, when you're a real perfectionist, but show me one person who has achieved anything in life and was not a perfectionist. Whether you take Leonardo da Vinci or Einstein, any one of them, they tried to reach that perfection. If you have too much of it, it makes you nagging and being too critical. and caught up in trivia, and also self-pity and poor me attitude. So whenever you learn a craft or trade, and it does a useful work, it brings us out. Whenever you finish overdue work, or as I said, you know, make a list of things to do, for example, all those are ways to offset this theme, actually. But it has a certain pathos to it. For example, I'm Persian, actually, but I love the Indian classical music also. There's a rag called the Shivranjani. It's something like a... It has that sort of pathos about it. It has a sort of minor chords, but it has a slight sort of sadness to it. That as long as it doesn't become self-pity, and you need to change that into compassion. When you're feeling sad and sorry for yourself, you need to find somebody else who's more sad than you, or who's sick, for example, and you look after and you end up saving them. So that completely changes all your self-pity into compassion. Then you have the Libra theme, very, very important. This is the halfway aspect, actually, just like Aries was the first theme. Libra is exactly opposite, and this is exactly what I find amazing about the ancient astrologers, who I think were some of the greatest prophets to whom these laws of nature were revealed by a sort of divine inspiration. Just like, for example, Aries is like the hare, and Taurus is like the tortoise. So the hare and the tortoise, all these classics that you find, Beauty and the Beast, Libra, Scorpio theme, Prince and the Pauper, Leo and Virgo theme. And it comes out in movies also, when a certain movie is coming out, for example, and the planets are in a certain configuration, it captures the essence of the theme all around the world and becomes an instant hit. So Libra is a theme for cooperation. It's where in the seventh house, your marriage partner, which reflects your personality in the person that you get married to, the need for love, the need for affection and cooperation, the ability to understand other person's viewpoint, that cooperation, that's all the Libra theme. And it stimulates your aesthetic side, increases tolerance and a sense of fairness to the person. But it can also make you indecisive if you do too much into sitting on the fence when you're looking at just the pros and cons of everything. It makes you procrastinate or being sort of inactive. But the positive way of offsetting it would be when you read fashion magazines or Architectural Digest, for example, And anything which increases your sense of harmony and coordination. When you visit the beauty parlor, for example, and whenever you socialize and go to parties, and all that theme, the need for companionship, that's all the Libra theme. And that, of course, is a very easy aspect to find in terms of music. Now, this one has a Libra, but also a bit of a Pisces in it, because it has a pathos, plus it's a... That's from a love story, of course. Now, you also have, for example, Elvis Presley with his Love Me Tender. I don't know, I'm sure many of you might remember. Love Me Tender. So that's a Libra and Scorpio theme. This is a Libra part, but Never Let Me Go. That's a Scorpio theme. So this is that Libra, but a deep longing, and the Scorpio theme has that, you know, that never let me go. But the best way to offset, I mean, the theme would be, the Scorpio theme would be the Godfather's theme. The vows that we made will live until we die. Hello, caller.
Hi, Hassan. I had a couple quick questions. I'll take my answer off the air.
Yes.
The first one is, this is Jim calling from Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Do you see how anything in the charts about Florida this summer? Any big hurricanes or any bad things you see with South Florida this summer? And the other question was, I'm just wondering if these two people are compatible. I'll give you their birth dates.
I was just reading actually this show. I really want to dedicate to finishing off some of these themes. Have you listened to the show at all?
Okay, then, if you're too...
But I'll give the answer to the first one. Right now, for another about 2-3 weeks, there was a danger of all these hurricanes on the Mars-Neptune aspect in the sky. And the next one that comes up is in October. Though these 2 months are not the best, there's really like a nightmare theme going on in the sky, the Mars Neptune. And every time you have these themes, there's also danger to Iran. So we'll talk about attacks to Iran. I don't think it materialized, but the next one you'll hear about is in October.
Okay, so Florida should be ready, get prepared around October time.
That's right, yeah. I haven't looked too deep into it, but I do know there's a Mars Neptune aspect coming up, and places near the ocean are affected by that. But I'll have a look at it later on, because two, three times I've tried to finish up all the themes, and each time I keep postponing something, so I just want to finish them. But six more themes. A very interesting one. I don't know if you heard about my theme. Did you hear these? The 12 essential needs I was talking about?
I can barely hear you, Hassan. I didn't get that. Yeah. I'll let you get back to your work, and I'll call you some other time. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, then. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, that maybe it's still that Mercury retrograde that people cannot hear us well. I was hoping by now it would be clear, and that's one of the reasons why I'm holding back with some of my best aspects. I've written more than 150 books. We published 9, actually. But it'd be nice to actually start talking about it. So anyways, I was talking about the Scorpio theme, as you said, with this one is Foster Papetti, by the way, with the Godfather theme. So this is that Scorpio theme. Supposing you have Venus in Scorpio, it's like, you know, till death do us part type an attitude, like all or nothing attitude. So wherever there's Scorpio, you have this need to experience life and death situations for self-control, for self-mastery, for understanding your purpose in life. And these are very strong Scorpio themes. And the search for truth and destiny, and increase your tenacity and saving instincts. Now, when you have too much of this, of Scorpio theme, it indicates a misuse of power or spiritual isolation. And you may become too introspective or reclusive or fanaticism or hang on to lost causes, for example. So from time to time, it's very important for you to reevaluate your mission and purpose in life, and to read about power of the mind, and to practice anything to be self-control, self-mastery, and also, for example, if you fast periodically, for example, it really helps you gain control. When you feel that you don't have control of anything in life, just fast. Or if you're smoking, for example, just give up one smoke a day. All these little things give you that self-mastery. Whenever you visit a cemetery, that also makes you think about life and death. And it's a very positive theme to make you understand that people completely forget their priorities in life. When Princess Diana passed away, for example, it's like a sudden shock for the whole world. And that's a Scorpio theme. There was an 800-mile hurricane in Florida. That was that moon in Scorpio. That time it was really scary. Very more than a million people were, of course, evacuated, etc. That was that Scorpio theme. So from time to time, we almost need these signals from nature. And unfortunately, when it's not being offset in a positive way, then, you know, people like, you know, when they dropped like 1.2 million tons of bombs in Iraq, where the population is less than the age of 15, like 50% of the population. In fact, 70% of the population of Iran is less than the age of 30. People don't realize that aspect. So it's like a young, youthful crowd, and they're making them even more dogmatic from here by criticizing them so much, unfortunately, you know. Anyway, so that's the Scorpio theme. Then there's the Sagittarius theme, to understand truth and also... So the quest for knowledge and universal justice and freedom. And it makes you definitely like a positive thinker. And Dale Carnegie, etc., they were Sagittarians and philosophical. If you have too much of that, it can make you a real preacher and quite opinionated and constantly preaching and constant like a wanderer. So whether you travel around the world or read in books, it's the same theme of the Sagittarius theme. Very important theme, actually, and gives you that positive motivation. So whenever you go across the border, or take a trip around the world, when you interact with foreign countries, foreign lands, foreign places, foreign cultures, and go to a place of worship, which brings the beggar and the king together, then you're dealing with the with this ninth house theme, the Sagittarius theme. The best aspect, one of them is, of course, the Moonlight Sonata, which is by, you know, it's a very something profound, as if he is meditating at some kind of a hard time with God, like Beethoven. That's that theme. Now, the same love story, if you hear, so here's a Libra and Sagittarius theme. I just want you to really start visualizing these things with me in terms of color and tempo and music to really understand the whole thing. So it has a slight hesitation that gives that theme. So that's also, this is like a Libra and Sagittarius theme. By the way, we had predicted that Obama will get the nomination, as you know, and not only now, but I said it from last year, actually, and he did. And partly based on his own oratory skills, etc., things that he'd be getting, he was supposed to have some disappointment until about June, which just finished, from an older woman, which is, of course, Hillary. And there was a Saturn moon aspect in his chart, and that's why he was feeling a bit tired, etc. And now he's getting some great aspects later on. His life is still in danger, of course, till about next summer. He's got to be very, very careful. Hopefully he has good security there. And but end of this year, there are some major, major changes going all around the world. Actually, let me just finish these three, four themes that are left, and we have time left, and I'll discuss that more. Then we have the Capricorn theme, which is for achievement, and the whole West is stuck on this theme, unfortunately, you know, that, you know, just the materialistic aspects, having six houses and two boats and six cottages, for example. And so it's good for as a sense of responsibility, achievement, and goal setting, because it's a sense of duty. And it's a long-term achievement, and makes ambitious, and builds perseverance. There's a need for achievement, you know, which we all have. And any ideas that you have, you want to make it productive. And but also, if you have too much of it, it can make you a workaholic. And people who are billionaires, who have to eat rice because they have ulcers, and because they completely forgot their priority and let their health go. Or, for example, an alcoholic person, for example, in their 60s, suddenly their parents, I mean, the wife leaves with the children, etc., and you're, you know, because you completely forgot about them and completely ignored them. So this aspect, and most people have to be very careful that don't become like workaholics, that they do something fun every day in their life. I absolutely love everything that I do. And regardless of how hard you're working, just even 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just take out something which you absolutely just enjoy. It also makes you so workaholic, and too many restrictions and self-imposed obligations, etc. And so it is always important to accept responsibilities, and this theme can make your personal growth very limited, actually. So you've got to be a bit very careful, and when you can get carried too far away. And also, it's like playing, it's a bit of a heavy theme. It's like playing the bass guitar, for example, but you have a limited range, and when you don't have any fun, it's exactly opposite theme to Cancer, which is the home and the family and the children. So here, for example, it's like a working mother, a lady, for example, she's in her 50s that has no children, and so it has a bit of a dry theme. It's very successful in corporate aspect, but no home life. The home life is very barren. That becomes the theme. But it is an important theme. When you play the cello, for example, that's a Capricorn theme. People, when they get wealthy and a bit isolated, if they don't have any family, single people, that is one of the Capricorn themes. You know, they climb the corporate ladder and they completely forget other priorities. The theme for Aquarius is the need for originality, the need to break free from restrictions, to become unconventional from time to time. And it's a need to experience future trends, originality, sense of community. And it brings out your original and inventive side, and whenever you stimulate that side. And also for the welfare of the masses, like internet, for example, is a definite Aquarius theme. And makes you a nonconformist, erratic and eccentric also if it carries, you know, too far. And whenever you visit an Apple store, or you buy an iPod or BlackBerry, and start using the internet, or visit science centers, and or any modern art exhibitions, for example, or digital technology in the internet and high tech, or you buy a fantastic new sound system, all digital, for example, that's all the Aquarius theme. And then you have science, like, you know, Back to Future type of movies, for example, or science fiction type. And then you have the need for spirituality, the need for empathy, compassion, feelings. This is a beautiful, beautiful theme, and exactly opposite to Aries, where Aries is like the pioneer. This is a theme for being like a poet. And I'm going to play the music here so you'll understand. You'll get the essence of it. And just by having this music playing in the background, you'll see those ocean, the water, the seagulls, but also somebody playing the violin, for example, and that beam. In fact, when Titanic happened, the moon was in Pisces, the sign of the ocean. They used to give a sacrifice to the ocean when the moon was in Pisces. Maybe that was one of the reasons to offset the theme. And the violinists were playing even as they were going down, the last theme. And you can imagine the sense of sacrifice was at its best. That's the fight. Now, this is pathos, not self-pity, like a Virgo thing would be more a bit of a self-pity and being almost ungrateful to some extent. This is a deep compassion and empathy for people. So it's a beautiful theme, exactly opposite to that fast beat of that Aries theme that I talked about. And every time you go near the ocean, you go on a cruise, or you go near the lake, etc., you listen to the flute, bamboo flute rather than the gold flute, and or listen to Chopin, or soothing classical music. And when you play a musical instrument and sing some inspirational songs and play the minor chords, that becomes the Piscean theme. And it brings out the empathy in you. We all need to have that. People who are born with a healing aspect, they are born with it. But if you have too much of it, it leads to escapism and drugs and alcohol and inability to separate truth from fantasy. When you go for a total tangent, for example, and sort of psychic vulnerability. Whenever you give charity or share something with the intent that nothing belongs to us in the first place, one day everything will be taken away, or when you take warm bubble baths, and when you meet older people who are wise, for example, grandparents and senior citizens, but also when you visit places like Disneyland, for example, that also it offsets this theme. So these are the 12 needs. Now, that can be, I've made up an 11 by 17, a laminated thing, by the way. It's only like $10, $12. If you like, you can always write to us, stargazer@astrotrends.net, and we can, I've not made it, I don't think I've written it on my order form. I should really add it, because so many people have requested. See, normally we give corporate lectures, and where this is part of the theme. But if you like, we can have it. It's all color-coded. It's really nice. And, for example, the need for, let's say, you want to be happy in life, of course, and the best cure for depression. The number one theme, the number five theme, and the number nine theme. The first one was the need for action. And so something to do, something to be proud of, and philosophy and travel. Three things, and you'll never be depressed in your life. So the first thing is that Aries theme. You go to a gym, you take up dancing, you take up salsa dancing, for example. That's the first part of going out of depression, because you feel like you're staying home otherwise. See, when you go out and it's nice and sunny outside, for example, and just going out, there's a certain energy of that. And the Leo theme is when you're proud of something. Everybody has something where they can show off. This is the area exactly which brings you the fame in life. Many people come to me and they want to be famous, but they haven't done anything to justify that aspect. And I tell them, is there something you do every day where you'll sacrifice your sleep, your food, everything for it, for example? And when they say no, and I tell them, what makes you think that you'll be a very successful actress, for example? I'm sure that you have the potential, but you have to start doing something towards those dreams every day. For 22 years, I've practiced engineering, but there was not a day that did not have something to do with astrology every day. In my coffee time, everybody used to say, I said, how come you're so happy? And I used to tell them, I said, because I'm doing something which only I have control over, nobody else. And how I'd be able to make a difference in life of the masses. That part. And I was writing everything, contributing something towards that. And you need that, some passion, which is so passionate about that, as I said, you could even lose your sleep on that. And when people start talking about that area, you get really high. So that's a high which takes out of depression. For some people, it's their personality. Just being themselves, like Marilyn Monroe, for example, was born in Leo Rising. And her best asset was her personality, actually. And the third theme, of course, is what you're doing right now. We're discussing philosophy. It's a God's plan or philosophy of life. When you travel, when you interact with foreign countries and foreign lands, these things completely take you out of depression. Similarly, you have, for example, you want to become a more down-to-earth person. Take the next theme, the Taurus theme, when you own some old property, for example, or whenever you gather, many people, for example, do not like to throw things away, and they become like pack rats, for example, but there's a reason for that. People who are extremely loyal will always be like that. People are very fickle. They would never want to keep anything. So people who have a lot of Taurus planets, Cancer planets, Scorpio planets, they like to hang on to things. And whether they use it or not, but there's a deep psychological reasoning. All the old memories and old cards reminds you of all kinds of things at a subconscious level. So make sure that you do not just tell your friends, oh, you should just get rid of everything, for example. You might create a lot of psychological damage to these people. You have to make sure they have some good substitutes for those things. So when you have some old things, when you visit old places, and also when you have a trade, a craft, every time you're meticulous about something, for example, and also the long-term achievement, all the long-term goals. This brings the productive side. Similarly, if you want to become objective in life, you need, first of all, the need for communication. That's a Gemini theme. When you hear some jokes, every day, let's say you make a point of listening to just one joke. And just to give you that sense of humor, regardless of how sad you feel in life or how bothered you are with all kinds of bills and everything, so just get you in that frame of mind. It makes you more objective, more rational. Makes you stand out in a proud, and become objective in life. And also, as I said, the Libra theme, which is the sense of cooperation, the willingness to listen to the other person's viewpoint as well. Anyway, but there's a sense of harmony. When you go to beautiful showrooms, for example, and they're beautiful decorations, that brings it out. And the third thing would be the originality, as I said before. So the Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius theme. Aquarius theme is when you just visit places like the Apple computers, for example, or Sony places, and there's latest technology, the latest gadget, whether you buy it or not, just stimulating a mind for that and to see what's available or go on the internet. Imagine not having internet, not having an email, not any of that, no newspapers, no magazines, there's no intellectual stimulation, no TV. Of course, it leads to depression. You'll need some aspect of mass communication or some aspect of communication to be objective in life. And the fourth theme would be to become more sensitive to others. These are the Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces theme. These three. Or if you have these friends, Cancer would be the homemade cooking, the barbecues, the family reunions, when you visit places of nursery with their children, for example. And that is a Cancer theme. And whether it's, you know, it provides you with emotional security. You visit your parents or your mother. I mean, I'll give up everything in my life just to see what a mother's hug must be like. And most people take it just for granted. And the Scorpio theme would be when you visit a cemetery. Suddenly, that you know, you've been having a Porsche and a Ferrari and a Diablo and buying all kinds of properties that there's no end to this aspect. And suddenly, it makes you hesitate. How can I contribute to life 200 years from now? For all the people, so it gets your priorities correct. And whenever you visit place with his life or situation, to understand, to contemplate on your mission in life. And the third theme of that, along the Piscean themes, whenever you listen to that beautiful, that violin piece, that said those type of things, or when you do something for charity, and just understand the needs of people, and to bring out this empathy, compassion, so that's your power. It has to lead a balanced life, because when we say people think it's happiness, it's not. The happiness is one part of the puzzle. Sadness is just as important. If you have this need to save people, and supposing you're Pisces in your seventh house of marriage, and if you did not have a hobby or a career where you're helping people, you'll pick up lost cause in your personal life. So you'll marry an alcoholic spouse, for example, and keep justifying that somehow I'm going to get them away from this aspect. So these themes have to be satisfied. I'm lucky, you see, that I was born with the worst drug addict that you've ever seen. And yet I've never taken a drop of alcohol in my life. I've absolutely no idea what beer tastes like or champagne tastes like. But everything that I do is an absolute obsession, whether it's music or art or astrology or anything, but in a good way, in a positive way. I can control that. So the form of obsession is my free choice. But the fact that I'll be obsessed by everything is beyond me. So to find what you'll be best at, find the Leo theme. And if you write to us at stargaze@astrotrends.net or call us at 416-497-9000 or just visit our website, astrotrends.net. By the way, on astrotrends.net, on the left-hand side is a menu. The second one, it says your mission. Just go there and look at the flash version. Click on the flash version. It has my music, my words, and the message that I'm trying to give. What is your mission life? It's a beautiful piece I wrote some time ago. And till next time, this is your astrologer, Hasan Jaffer. And I wish you all the best and good luck.